News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
We're joined by Paul Reid, CEO of the HSE. Paul, recommendations from NPHET on children, that front headline of the Irish Independent, children grounded for 2 weeks. What's your reaction?
First of all, what we have to wait from the HSE perspective is for an effort to communicate that with the Minister and for the Minister to communicate on from government and assessment by government, and that process will happen, I'm sure, very quickly. But look, I guess reality of it is these are, you know, more potential tools that we can deploy. They're not normal tools, not normal to our cultural norms, but we're not in normal times. And I guess every line of defence from a health service perspective we can put up, you know, all the better. We do understand it's a difficult one for parents, difficult one for children, but I think ultimately let's await it for, from my perspective, I must await for a government assessment and a decision in relation to it.
And that sounds reasonable, but I suppose what parents might ask, Paul, is how many children are actually very sick with COVID? How many children are in hospital?
Well, I think what you see, it's particularly what we're seeing in relation to respiratory viruses is a really prominent issue for us and the impact it's having, not specifically just in relation to COVID, but if you take respiratory illness that we're seeing, and we were assessing the emergency attendances to our children's hospitals in the period of October to early November. And if you compare with 2019, which would be the year before pandemic, there are about 11,700 presentations in that 5 week period. In the equivalent 5 week period this year in 2021, there are almost 20,000 presentations. So it's a 70% increase. Now, certainly, yes, vast majority of all of that is RSV and respiratory illness, but it is having an impact overall. So, you know, we do need to protect children as well. I just fully appreciate it's difficult, but certainly it is impacting on the health service as well.
I know many times you and I have talked about vaccine rollouts, Paul, and I think at one stage you talked about, you know, the plan, the vaccine plan number 27 or number 43 or something. There's been so many different plans. But clearly now we need to plan, or it's quite likely we're going to need to plan for children, those whose parents opt in. It'll obviously be an opt-in situation. Is that going to happen around the same time as the, if I'm working this out right, the over 50s, the end of the year? Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, obviously, first of all, we welcome the decision by the EMA, and we now await that assessment by National Immunisation Advisory Committee and ongoing recommendations to government. But we in parallel, are working through an operating plan about how we would deploy that. The first thing is to say it, the most likely delivery schedule from the suppliers of the vaccine would be towards the end of December, and that's not just for ourselves, that's all across Europe. So in the meantime, what we are looking at is what's the operating model, should these be recommended here, which we expect to be, in terms of the best deployment across vaccination centres, GPs, pharmacies. We will be seeking parents' views, and I value parents' views in terms of this, you know, how can we build confidence for parents, what would be important to them in terms of if they're coming forward for vaccination with their young children. And we'll be doing a number of workshops and engagement processes. I've asked the team to put that together to inform us over the next short while, but we have started to look at the plan. We are finalising the plan, actually, to be ready to go once the delivery schedule, or once the recommendation happens on delivery arrive. So ultimately, to answer your question, yes, if it is towards the end of December and into early January, we would be doing that in conjunction with, at that stage, what we would be doing, which are the over 50s, but we are progressed really strongly now.
And so you'll be doing them kind of in tandem, Paul, is that right? Like different cohorts being vaccinated at the same time?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're doing right now, Ciara, which we'll continue on. We're now in parallel vaccinating a whole range of different cohorts from long-term care facilities, over 80s, over 70s, over 60s, healthcare workers, moving towards over 50s. So what we'll see in the vaccination centres are, exactly as you describe it, a parallel set of groups coming through, because this time, slightly different, it's all geared towards the 5 month eligibility criteria for boosters. Okay. But equally good progress on immunocompromised, I should say.
And there does appear you've started to roll out for the over 60s, say, walk-in booster clinics, is that correct?
Yeah, throughout this weekend and into next week, what we are doing, as I described, parallel vaccination administration across all the groups. But what we are starting to do now is a combination of specific walk-in availability times in specific centres for those over in 60 to 69, and also healthcare workers. So we'll have a number of appointments-driven centres, and equally they will have specific times. So what I would say to your listeners is to look at hse.ie. you will see the site specifically to you. What I would stress is it's really important if you are coming forward for walk-in at a designated site that you are in the eligible criteria.
Okay.
So you are in the age group, but you're also in the at least 5 months of having received your second dose.
Because otherwise you might be turned away. Is that the case?
Yeah, we have to strictly work to the recommended criteria, which is the eligibility criteria, and indeed the age groups that are recommended so far and as we walk down through them. So look at the hsa.ie seat. Be sure of your own eligibility to come forward. But ultimately, as of this morning, Ciara, there's now 630,000 of the boosters complete across those and 76,000 for the immunocompromised.
And you mentioned when you said the end of the year, you mentioned supply chains. There has been some criticism of the pace of the booster campaign, as you know. But is supply an issue here? Do we have a shortage of vaccines currently?
Well, just on the pace issue, if you look at last week, with those numbers completed, almost 200,000 vaccines administered last week. You know, that's really getting up to a very significant scale. We're bringing on more pharmacies. Supply is not a factor in terms of any constraint. We have adequate supply, significant supply, for whatever recommendations come from the National Immunisation Advisory Committee.
Okay, let's move on to hospitals. The situation currently, is it too soon to say we're plateauing? I mean, we saw over the last number of days some levelling off and then some mild fall in terms of numbers. But is it too soon to say the significance of it?
I think a couple of things have happened. So certainly we would welcome, there's been last night, it's 556 patients, COVID positive patients in hospital and 126 in ICU. That will slightly increase, I've no doubt, this morning again. But we're still hovering around that 600 mark, which is completely putting a huge strain on the hospital system. So yes, far too soon. I think what a couple of things are helping, which we should take as positive. First of all, we took a range of actions across our hospital systems last week, following my letter to the hospital system and their actions around trying to relieve the pressure on the hospital system over the day. So looking at the next 14 days and prioritising care, prioritising urgent care and prioritising COVID care, use of private hospitals, but equally into community, putting in more step-down beds and home supports, and indeed scaling up our ICU. So they are supporting to try de-risk the current situation. And secondly, I think what I would recognise is the public's reaction in terms of public health measures. We can see a very significant shift change, which is supporting that ultimately is our first line of defence, and we can see the progress already on that. So I just want to thank the public for an immediate reaction.
Okay. Moving on to PCRs, we've obviously heard a lot about PCRs over the last week, about the difficulty people have in accessing them. Have you seen any change in that? Is that getting easier for people, or are we still extremely stretched on that front?
It's extremely under high demand still. What we are seeing in the last 6 weeks, over a million PCR tests done in our PCR centres. Last 7 days, as of yesterday, over 210,000 tests completed now. So if you remember this famous figure of having in the community 15,000 tests available, we've done 26,000 tests on many days last week. So ultimately high demand. What we are prioritising and continue to prioritise are those clinically referred and indeed close contacts of positive cases by asymptomatic case positive symptomatic.
So when you're logging in looking for it, if you say I am a close contact, or if you were referred to your GP, you're bumped up that pecking order logarithmically somehow.
Yeah, well, I think what's driving ultimate extra demand are self-referrals, which we're still open for and still doing, but ultimately when you get to a level like this, we try demand. What we have done, Ciara, is put in extra centres, put in extra hours. We've taken on board private capacity in three centres, three airports across the country, and next week we'll be opening three further centres through some extra private capacity. Our National Ambulance Service putting pop-ups. So, but ultimately, Ciara, it's not elastic and it's not infinite, so I do ask the public to bear with us, because most people, vast majority of people, are getting either same day or next day service, but in many cases people are having to wait. It is important if you're symptomatic that you isolate, and it's really important if you're symptomatic you stay isolated until at least 48 hours after your symptoms dissipate.
Okay, that is the CEO of the HSE, Paul Reid there. Thank you very much for that indeed.
News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.